rumors about the A350 XWB were true. Could it be in Paris? Chance of USA, USA? Charleston, South Carolina becomes a global aerospace hub. This is Aero News for Tuesday, June 25th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. It was rumored that the Airbus A350 XWB just might make its first real public appearance as a flyby at Le Bourget, and the rumors proved true. As part of its third test flight from Airbus's Toulouse headquarters in southwestern France, the number one A350 XWB headed north to offer a show-stopping performance in the skies above Le Bourget Airport on Friday, where a large crowd gathered at the Paris Air Show to witness the flyby of Airbus's new composite construction wide-body jetliner. Piloted by Airbus Captain Peter Chandler and Captain Guy McGrin, the A350 XWB's flyby was performed with the authorization of France's DGAC Civil Aviation Authority and supported by Paris Air Show organizers, who allocated a slot in Friday afternoon's aerial display. The aircraft, designated MS-1 in Airbus's numbering system, made its entrance over Le Bourget at approximately 1:30 p.m. local time, marking its first appearance at a public event. Cheers and applause from the crowd reportedly drowned out the A350 XWB's quiet Rolls-Royce Trent XWB engines as the aircraft flew along the airshow runway before clearing the area and flying off into the clouds. Three students from the Georgetown, Texas 4-H Rocketry Club took home gold medals after placing first in the 6th Annual International Rocketry Challenge at Le Bourget Airport in Paris. The U.S. team, sponsored by Raytheon, reclaimed the title from the French team, which placed second. The U.K. team finished third. The International Rocketry Challenge is the culmination of three separate competitions held annually around the globe: the Team America Rocketry Challenge, UK ROC, and the French Rocketry Challenge. Each contest brings together teams of middle and high school students to design, build, and launch model rockets in hopes of inspiring young minds to become engaged in science, technology, engineering, and math. This is the 8th year that Raytheon has supported the U.S. team's trip to the International Air Show. The program is part of the company's broad-based Math Moves You initiative. South Carolina's aerospace industry was the fastest growing in the nation between 2007 and 2012, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, thanks in large part to the 787 Dreamliner assembly plant that Boeing opened in North Charleston in 2009, which now employs 6,700 workers. The state's aerospace industry grew by more than 600% within the 5-year period. The city's Economic Development Alliance says that the pace shows no signs of slowing, with recent announcements that Boeing will invest another $1 billion over the next 5 years and create 2,000 new jobs to establish an engineering design center and 737 MAX propulsion operation in the Charleston region. The Charleston region is home to approximately 70 aerospace and aviation-related businesses, including big names like Lockheed Martin, BAE Systems, and Booz Allen Hamilton, while smaller, specialized firms supply everything from gears and hoses to computer systems. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, says it is continuing its evaluation of proposed rules that would allow increased use of certain portable electronic devices, PEDs, in flight, saying conclusions reached by the Aviation Rulemaking Committee in a draft report are premature. In a statement posted Friday on its Facebook page, the FAA said, quote, "We recognize consumers are intensely interested in the use of personal electronics aboard aircraft. That is why we tasked a government industry group to examine the safety issues and the feasibility of changing the current regulations. At the group's request, we have granted a 2-month extension to complete the additional work necessary for the safety assessment. We will wait for the group to finish its work before we determine next steps," end quote. One person who will not be happy with that decision is Senator Claire McCaskill, who informed the FAA months ago that she would begin working on a legislative means of changing the rules governing the use of PEDs on airliners. In a letter to FAA Administrator Huerta dated March the 7th, the senator said, quote, "I am concerned that relying on the Aviation Rulemaking Committee to drive changes on this issue creates potential for the process to drag on indefinitely, end quote. Gee, who knew the senator was clairvoyant? When Aero News continues, hands-on experience in Wichita, Vegas's next big attraction, and up a tree without a paddle.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, June 25th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks to a strong relationship between Beechcraft and Wichita State University's National Institute for Aviation Research, dozens of WSU students are getting hands-on experience creating 3D designs for Beechcraft airplanes. The students are working at Beechcraft as employees of the Institute's CAD-CAM lab. They're using 3D CAD design software and Mentor graphics software to implement change requests for all production lines and recreate outdated two-dimensional drafting plans. Much of the design work the students are completing was previously contracted to other companies. In 2010, bringing those jobs back to Wichita became a goal for the company. Most of the students are participating in the university's Cooperative Education and Work-Based Learning Program to satisfy curriculum in the engineering program. Students who have worked for the Institute's CAD-CAM lab are in high demand in the aircraft industry. Since the program began in 2010, all of the lab's long-term student employees have secured jobs in the industry. A company that specializes in building thrill rides has petitioned the FAA for permission to build a 650-foot-tall polar coaster in Las Vegas, but has not mentioned the specific location of the structure. The company, U.S. Thrill Rides LLC, describes the ride as a reoriented roller coaster. It looks much like an airport control tower with a roller coaster attached. The structure would have an observation cab at its top, with the coaster providing access both to the cab and back down to the ground. Glass elevators would provide transportation to the restaurants and shopping at the top for the fainter of heart. Michael Kithkin, the president of the Windmere, Florida-based company, told the Las Vegas Review-Journal it would be the tallest roller coaster in the world, but the structure would not be the tallest on the Las Vegas Strip. It would come in behind the 1,149-foot-tall Stratosphere Tower and the still-unfinished Fontainebleau Resort, which will be 735 feet when completed. The structure also has not been approved by the FAA. For his 60th birthday, Joe Barbera of La Center, Washington, wanted to do something different. He landed on the idea of attempting to set the distance and duration records for a lawn chair balloon, and 15 days before his birthday, he began building his rig. His goals were to travel 268 miles and stay airborne longer than 13 and a half hours, to set both records, according to television station KGW in Portland, Oregon. But he ran into a few problems along the way. He had scheduled his liftoff at around 07:30 Saturday local time, but several of the 100 helium balloons he had hoped would provide lift popped. He had to shed a lot of weight, including his supplemental oxygen, cameras, and even his shoes, just to get airborne. Not having the oxygen became problematic when he reached 20,000 feet in altitude. He had hoped to make it over the Cascade Mountains, but was unable to do so. When the lawn chair rig started losing altitude, his ground crew was just hoping for a safe landing. Well, the adventure ended 25 miles from the launch point, about 40 feet up in a tree near Lewis River in Washington State. Barbera was rescued safely. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.